in front of everybody. And it was in that particular time of history when all of them were declaring that Jesus is Lord. Meaning, it's not death that will cause me to turn back. He is my Lord. I offer him total loyalty. And if it means that I have to die in a horrible way, I accept to die because he is my Lord. Worthy to receive my loyalty. And I wonder if in this time and age, we can also declare, like the first Christians, that Jesus is Lord. And whenever we declare that, we have to remind ourselves that those who came before us, who embraced the faith that we are professing today, they died confessing that Jesus is Lord. Tribulations that we are facing today are nothing compared to what they endured. The suffering they were exposed to. Yet, from the bottom of their heart, they declared that Jesus is Lord and they paid the ultimate price with their own lives. To the Lord be the glory. Last Sunday, an appeal was launched to us to become Christians who are radically committed to the Lord. Ken spoke about a chosen generation that we are part of. A chosen generation, in other terms, is the prophetic generation. Because we live in a prophetic time. The end of times. Many prophecies are being unfolded in front of our own eyes. Sometimes we are very distracted by what is going on around us and we don't see what we were meant to be seeing and declare that Jesus is Lord. It happens times that we are caught into the trend of the society and we miss to go through the experience that we must go through in this time and age. The prophetic are happening, yet we struggle to see. And that's how when temptations are coming, we can easily give in. But when the word of God comes to us is to remind us who we really are in this decayed world. Who we really are. In order that we can step back in our rightful position and be the signs that we must be in this world. Amen. To those who confess that there is no God, when they see our lifestyle, when they look at us, signs that God has placed in this time and age in the world, they say, surely God exists. Amen. And today, by God's grace, we'll continue with the same theme. Radical commitment to the Lord. To be committed to the Lord, not anyhow, not how we feel it. Not according to circumstances, because they do change. Not according to our moods. Moods changing. But according to what the Bible is giving us as principles and values. Yeah. If really Jesus is our Lord. And I believe that He is our Lord. The same spirit that led Grace to read in 1 Corinthians is the same spirit that touched my heart to go into 1 Corinthians. Now we are in chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. From verse 1, the Bible says this: "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the clouds and the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Jesus. Amen. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. The bodies were scattered in the wilderness." Amen, amen. We'll pause a little bit there. A warning to the Israelites, the Hebrews, which is also a warning to us. Here the apostle takes back the people of God to remember history, what happened with their ancestors. In life, when we forget our history, we can become anything that society wants us to be. Yeah. It is very important to know our root, yeah, to know our history. In this church today, we have a representation of different colors, different nationalities and origins. And this shows the beauty that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, where there is no white and black, where there is no social classes. All we are brothers, we are sisters, we are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. All the barriers, he broke them down. Yeah. He made from two people to be one. Yeah. And that is part of our history as children of God. Yeah. So it is very important. The children of Israel, they have to remind themselves how, from all the nations, they were chosen to be a sign in the world, so that the rest of nations can look at them and acknowledge that God exists. Amen. They can see the characters of God through them. Yeah. But here the Bible says, in spite of all miracles that the ancestors of those Israelites experienced, the feeding of thousands and everything God did for them to protect them, I was 17 years old when the Lord visited my life, and the spiritual nourishment that was given to me lit the fire in me. So I was going into the marketplace, the buses, and in my country you do share taxi with other people that you don't know, as long as you go in the same direction. So to me it was the opportunity to proclaim Christ. So when you are in the marketplace, you have to make sure that your voice is heard. Amen. In that noise. Amen. Like what Andrew did on Friday at the funeral there.
people were talking, and when they gave him time to speak, so he had to impose himself, and everybody went quiet. That's unfortunately, although people can hear me, I do forget when I have the microphone that I don't have to shout. May the Lord help us. So, this call is of actuality today. Even if God might not be pleased in many because they are following the trend of this world, make sure that you, knowing that you are part of the chosen generation, you are a peculiar person, a people that know the Lord, and a person that cannot just go left because everybody is going left, go right because everybody is going right. You are chosen. You are special in the eyes of the Lord. You have to be numbered among the few. That in this time and generation, when God is looking down, searching those who are seeking Him in truth, He can number you. He can count you. He can be proud of you. But together there is a price to pay. Jesus needs to be your Lord. Temptations are so many around us. Even when we don't look for them, they follow us in our houses through television. They follow us on our phones. I remember last time when I came here from Canada, Caucasian lady asked me friendship on Facebook, and her profile picture was a picture taken in the parliament. So I thought that she's a professional, she's a respectable lady. Well, I accepted. And the next thing, I was in London in the park praying, and a message came. Are you available for us to talk? And when I finished my prayer, I saw the message. I said, sure. Say, is it okay if we talk on video call? Say, why not? Wait for me to get home, then I'll call you. Say, okay. So I went home. When I reached home, I called her. She didn't pick immediately. And 2 minutes later, she phoned me. When I picked the call, she was in her bikinis, arranging the hair. It was as if I've just seen a demon. I threw my phone away. And when I picked it up, switch off my phone. You don't look for temptations, they follow you, even on your phones. So if you say, let me enjoy the view, she will be recording what is going on. And before you know it, your face will be everywhere asking you for $10,000 or pounds. If you don't give it, then you know what will follow you. May the Lord help us. He knows how to protect His children, and His protection will continue to be upon us. Amen. Verse 6 says this, now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our heart on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down and eat and drink and got up to indulge in revel. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died.
We should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. Verse 11 repeats what is written in verse 6. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Amen, amen. They happened to them. So me and you, when we are reading what is written here, we won't take the grace of God for granted. And trust me, it's so easy in this time and age to take the things of God for granted, the salvation that we have been given. Because the enemy has sent in our midst his servants who are diluting the truth of God, who have managed by the power of the enemy to create a big name in our midst as big servants of God. And unfortunately, many, especially young ministers, they look at them as role models. And they tend to copy whatever they are doing. And that's how you see the abomination is being multiplied in our midst. But when you gave your life to Jesus, he gave you the Holy Spirit. And the work of the Holy Spirit in me and you is to give us discernment. We don't have to do things because X, Z, big man or woman of God is doing that. No matter how big the name of the person might be, you have to check what is written and do things accordingly to the word of God, not to the renown of X and Z. May the Lord help us. So, here, the Bible shows us consequences that happen to those who profane the name of the Lord. Those who went astray from the grace of God to offer themselves into idolatry. To put first desires of the flesh, indulge into sexual immoralities. And all these things in our generation and time, we see in them. Unfortunately, even in the house of the Lord, all sorts of things are happening. In London, when I look at different communities and hear stories that are happening, even among people with the title I have, pastors, you hear stories of sexual immoralities, you just can't believe it that you're hearing what you're hearing. But it's the truth. Yet, on Sunday, performances are happening. The name of the Lord is being called, and you wonder what really is going on here. Well, we cannot be surprised because in this time, prophetically, those things have to happen. However, there is a rest, a people set apart that have decided that as long as I am in this one, I will glorify the name of the Lord. As we stand here, I will worship, I will praise the Lord. Praising the Lord is not only singing, no. Our lifestyle has to confess that Jesus is Lord.
without proclaiming to people our lifestyle in our workplace or at school, university, people must notify that something is different with you. As long as they cannot point that, they don't know what it is, but it's something unusual, special, then we have to go back to our knees and say, Lord, change me. Lord, transform me. I love it when Ken always says that we are a work in progress.
Yeah.
Yes, we are. And that's why here on verse 12, it says, the one who thinks that he's standing must be careful. Because when you think that you have mastered everything, arrogance will take place. And that's when you start spiritually going down. Your prayer life will be affected. You won't be desperate again to seek and search the face of the Lord. Because you are professional now in the things of God. And when prayer life goes down, you are in trouble. Even small things that need discernment, you won't discern them. You won't be able to distinguish your right from your left. May the Lord help us. So, I want to ask each and every one of us to remember our identity, who we really are. Being a Christian, as you know, is not just attending church. For us who attend church on Sunday, or those who attend church on Saturday, no, it's more than that. Being a Christian is not belonging to a denomination. God has nothing to do with the denomination. It's a relationship with you, with me. Because all our denominations have problems as well. So it's all about the relationship between the Savior and you and me. And it's something we need to protect. It's something we have to commit ourselves to. Not anyhow, but in a radical way. Being a Christian, it's all about a covenantal relationship with God. And when a covenant is done, it's the higher person who initiates the covenant closes. And he's the one who has the power to put an end to it. But unfortunately, ignorance is causing people who are lower in a covenant having the guts to put an end to a covenant relationship. And that's what happens to many of us, unfortunately. So, reminding ourselves that we are Christian children of God, and we are in a covenantal relationship with God, we have to abide to His Word, and know that He has the last decision. And as far as He's concerned, there is no day He will say, I don't love you anymore. His love for us is an everlasting love. We don't even deserve it, but He loves us anyway. So when we remember that, we're going to act accordingly, with reverence, with respect, with awe. We will humble ourselves before Him. He is our master. And the Bible in John chapter 10, verse 27, 28 says that, my flock, hear my voice and follow me. Who are we following? The trend of this world? Wherever society is taking us? all the changes that are happening in society? Or are we listening and following the voice of our master? But at a time, one can go through identity crisis. And someone defined identity crisis that it has various causes. And the first point that he's presenting is improper upbringing, unpleasant past experiences, lack of ideologies and values, and lack of affirmation. I agree with him. In many respects, when the upbringing is faulty, horrible things happen. On Friday, we were talking about our... He was, I think, 12, 13. Every Sunday, he was coming with his friends, 4, 5, to church. And some of them gave their love to Jesus. But when he got caught up with wrong influence, that conditioned his upbringing. From the upbringing of the church he was receiving, it was now the street and gang upbringing. And today, as you know, and you saw, he's in prison. But we declare and confess today that we will get him back. We declare and confess today that the devil is a liar. The seeds we planted in that young boy, that young evangelist, will spring again, will come back to life. And even now, at this particular moment, we pray that the Lord touches him in prison where he is, and everything he heard on Friday to give birth to life. We can be caught as well in wrong so-called Christian environment where people have already abandoned the ways of the Lord. You know, I don't have to tell you about that. With all different movements that are coming, prosperity movements, for instance, everything about faith is personal interest. And in essence, the very message of the Bible, which is the love of God, they don't even know again the meaning of it. We said it here time after time. Love is not about taking, taking. No, love is giving. God so loved the world, he gave. He didn't take, he gave. So people go to church seeking for that breakthrough, that marriage, that promotion, that healing. Yes, God blessed his people. He gives promotions to his people. He heals his people. He makes way where there is no way. He takes you from nowhere and puts you in a position that even if you go to university, you couldn't even attend. That's our God. But when we go to church because we are seeking for those things, and we find in the church environment everything set in place for us to grow into those kind of desires, then in those churches we get a wrong and proper upbringing that will take us far from the grace of God.
far from the love of God. May the Lord help us. I will conclude with something that here it's mentioned that people sat, ate, and drank. And then when you go a little bit further, a comparison is put between the table of the Lord and the table of demons. And the people that the Bible is talking about here is the people that knew the Lord, saw the hands of God, experienced the power of God. But simply because they didn't choose to be radical in the commitment to the Lord, the devil managed to find his way in their lives. History of the children of Israel around 167 before Jesus. Greek succeeded to win many territories. When you read the book of Maccabees, you're going to find the history there. And what happened, the Greek culture, through the emperor Antiochus, I don't know how you pronounce it, but that's how we pronounce it in French, he succeeded to impose the Greek culture based on worshiping nature to all those territories, people in those territories that he managed to conquer. And it happened a time that in what he was doing, as we can read in Maccabees chapter 1, verse 41 to 43, is not in your Bible, but it's history that worth reading. Antiochus now issued a decree that all nations in the empire should abandon their own customs and become one people. Does it ring a bell with what is happening in Europe and the new world order? Is the same spirit. Because spirits, they don't die. Especially in this last time, end times, they have to achieve what they started. All the Gentiles and even many of the Israelites submitted to this decree. They adopted the official pagan religion, offered sacrifices to idols, and no longer observed the Sabbath. Verse 44, the king also sent messengers with a decree to Jerusalem and all the towns of Judea, ordering the people to follow customs that were foreign to the country. He ordered them not to offer burnt offerings, grain offerings, or wine offering in the temple, and commanded them to treat Sabbath and festival as ordinary days. Verse 46, listen to this. They were even ordered to defile the temple and the holy things in it. They were commanded to build pagan altars, temples, and shrines, and to sacrifice pigs and other unclean animals there. They were forbidden to circumcise the sons and were required to make themselves ritual unclean and in every way they could, so that they would forget the law which the Lord has given through Moses and will disobey all its commands. The penalty of disobeying the king decree was death. History tells us that many Jewish embraced the Greek custom. They abandoned the faith and they start worshipping idols. Today, we are not called to go into a shrine somewhere or a temple of demons somewhere, but in our midst, there are people who are already infiltrated in Christianity who are building temples, altars to the devil with lack of understanding the word of God. Many Christians, unfortunately, they bow into the enemy without knowing. Reason why it's a must to choose the place of worship. If you don't take it seriously and you mingle with people who are already at the service of the enemy but wearing the sheep appearance, then you are in trouble. I got connected and linked to Andrew because I saw values and principles of Christ in him. And he will tell you, at that moment, I was very close with another friend of mine that he knows, I won't mention his name. He has a very large church in Jevin. But I turned down the offer because I had to protect my soul. I had to choose who I'm mixed with. We are the product of the environment we choose to be in. We become affected by friends we choose to be close to us. It's just a matter of time. If they are in rebellion, before we know it, we start acting like them. Do you hear this, my girls? So, to be radically committed to the Lord, the choice of our friends is very important. The choice of who we worship with the Lord is very important. Andrew loved to say, iron sharpens iron. It's so true. And one will say, we are what we eat. We are what we drink. If the spiritual nourishment that you are drinking, you are eating, is rotten, it has a salmonella in it, trust me, what will come? You must be strong to visit number two over there. May the Lord help us. It is time to commit ourselves to the Lord and to be ready to pay the price, even if it's the ultimate price, death. We have to make that choice. Everything starts with the choice. Everything starts with the choice. One said, in life, we are presented with choices. You have to pick a side and protect it with your life. I loved it. So if we are Christians and we are conscious of the identity we have been given by the Lord, nothing can cause us to turn back. To go back to things that we vomited, in spite of the attraction they can present to us. In spite of the pleasures they can present to us. We have to endure suffering that it takes for us to be radically committed to the Lord. And this is the time
Because you won't be God's sign in this city of Doncaster or Sheffield or South Yorkshire or here in England and in the world if you are not radically committed to the Lord. I take inspiration from Muslim girls. When I see them in the hijab, they are conscious, they know that people are pointing fingers on them that they are terrorists. But according to the belief, they have to cover themselves like that. And passing, they know, oh, look at that one, the way he's looking at me, that I'm a terrorist. He doesn't know that I'm a good girl, I'm a wonderful person. They pay the price. We met the Lord. And the Holy Spirit enables us to do whatever we have to do. It's just making that choice and go before the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Give me the strength that I need. Even if friends at school are looking at me as the odd one, Father, give me the strength to accept. And that's how the love of God will fill your life. And that love cannot be present in you and remains unnoticed. Those around you will be touched. And the name of the Lord will be sanctified in your life. It's not at the end of the service to recite the Lord's prayer. No! It's to sanctify the name of the Lord in whatever we are doing. And the beauty is not with our strength. It's by His strength. He promised that He will not abandon us. He will not leave us alone. Let's stand up and commit ourselves to the Lord.